At the Mayo Clinic, I stare at a wall of blue sodalite marble. It's also called Wisdom Stone. Here, there are whole walls of it, shades of dark, luminous blue veined with white, so it looks like craggy mountains dotted with a few scrawny pines bordering valleys of snow, along the edges of which a road winds. Tiny people, almost indistinguishable, trudge slowly up the white winter road towards the blue mountains. Theirs is a long journey. Where are they going? The mountains are uninhabitable. I know it's all imaginary. My own Rorschach. Instead of ink blots, blue sodalite marble mined from the Bolivian Andes, transported by train, boat, truck, then cut, polished to a high sheen, and set into a cherry-paneled wall in the Stephen and Barbara Slaggy Family Cancer Education Center. The placard next to the marble says, Wisdom Stone is believed to aid in concentration and to quiet inner turmoil. Others believe that it also has healing properties. We encourage you to touch the wall. It feels smooth, cold. Its small, blue marble people resemble the parka-hooded men, women, teenagers, and occasional children crowding this morning onto the motel shuttle, bound in the dim blue light of dawn for the Mayo Clinic, our Lourdes, 13 blocks away. It is 7 degrees, a foot of new fallen snow in Rochester, Minnesota, where my wife and I have come to consult a doctor about the side effects she's still experiencing from the rheumatoid arthritis drug she discontinued 5 months ago, a biologic called Enbrel. She still suffers from slight intermittent tremors, but the neuropathy, electrical zaps in her hands and feet, as she describes it, have abated. We too boarded the shuttle. We saw Dr. Miche, who examined Dana's x-rays, thought the joints in her gray skeletal feet and hands on the black velvet film on his light box looked good, considering the 14 years she's had the disease, and that she was perhaps being over-medicated. He was stumped by her newly diagnosed thiamine deficiency, perhaps celiac sprue. He ordered a blood draw and then an MRI to rule out Parkinson's. We took the elevator down to the subway level, walked underground to the Hilton building, desk C, and waited in the waiting area for Dana's name to be called. No one paid any attention to Ellsworth Kelly's 11 brightly colored squares, rectangles, parallelograms, and rhombuses hung on the white wall, or to Joan Miró's lithographs of larger-than-life surreal figures, the mad woman with ill-tempered pimento, 100-year-old warrior, big oyster woman, chauffeur of the moon, wielder of dumbbells. Miró's wacky humor fell flat. Everyone sat in leather chairs or in their wheelchairs as if in a luxurious airport terminal waiting for their flight to Maui, the Cayman Islands, or some other spot in the sun to be announced over the intercom. Instead, a nurse in a light blue lab coat called out, Anne-Marie Kaufman, door B, please, as if it were a game show that Anne-Marie had won. She had to go to door B to collect her mystery prize. In the back of the room, a black-haired woman with an aquiline nose vomited quietly into a plastic bag. I had heard her tell the woman seated next to her that she had Addison's disease and that her monthly infusions had allowed her to lead a normal life until 2 weeks ago when they had stopped working. Now she couldn't keep anything down. We are traveling the high mountain passes within a block of blue sodalite marble. It is starting to snow. At this altitude, the air thins and becomes harder to breathe. We get dizzy. We walk until the cliffs that are sheer 200-foot drops on either side of us disappear in the blizzard's whiteout. We crawl on hands and knees, feeling for the path as we go.